In April of 2020, the unemployment rate in Syracuse, New York spiked to an unheard of 17%.
I think that it's been widely covered and widely understood that there is a staffing shortage.
The nature of work is changing. The pandemic has made a lot of people do remote work.
The facts, the figures, the stories of our community.
We're looking at ourselves as a city and ourselves as workers in a different way.
This is City Limits, a working dilemma.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Taryn Mento. A dining room is a logical place for a home office.
How are you? Come on in.
It's well lit.
It was just the easiest room to convert.
Kind of spacious.
We did three desks around.
And most people probably only use it for special occasions. At least, that's how it is at Tina McQuiston's home.
Really kind of for those, you know, holiday events.
But it became the center point of the home during COVID. She and her husband found themselves working alongside one of her teenage sons.
Become my favorite cube mate.
Unfortunately, they both share the loud talker gene.
Sometimes we would have to like bring the voices down.
But it's a bright spot from those stressful first days during lockdown.
How often are you going to have that time to work with a teenage kid and, you know, really kind of plug away, share some laughs?
Now it's quieter. Her son has since gone back to school. But Tina is still embracing the work from home life. She can take a meeting on her Bluetooth headset while moving around, maybe go grab the mail. And so she's making this shift a more permanent one.
Now we're a hybrid approach.
Before, it was all office all the time.
You know, we can go in a couple of days, one day a week, or we can work remote, whatever works best for our situation.
And home is what works best for Tina.
Allows me to be both a mom and an employee.
And as an employee, she is working more.
What used to be, you know, that 8 to 5, 9 to 5, you know, you punch in, you punch out, became, okay, you wake up and maybe you're 6:30 in the morning having your coffee working. And then, okay, after the kids have retired for the evening, you know what, maybe I'll take the laptop to, you know, to the couch and you'd start working a little bit more.
But she's so working on her schedule.
There may be that, you know, the kids come in, you know, from school, and now I have that, you know, 20 minutes, half hour to connect with them, where I wouldn't have had that before. So it's, I think for me personally, at this time in my life, it works well.
And there's a wave of employees telling their bosses, hey, this works well for me too. It feels like that's all we've been hearing about, that everyone's happy at home and no one wants to come back to work. But what is the data telling us about how this is playing out? We checked in with national, state, and regional sources to see how this is really affecting the way we work. Anecdotally, it feels like everyone and their mom is working from home. And I'll admit right from the start that I'm one of them. First, I'm a mom, and I'm reporting this from my couch. It's nearly 2 p.m., and I'm still comfortably working in sweatpants. But how widespread is this exactly?
So, Nick, if you can just introduce yourself, tell me who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Nick Bunker, and I'm the Economic Research Director for North America at the Indeed Hiring Lab.
That's Indeed, which brands itself as the number one job site in the world. I interviewed Nick when we were both working from home.
I'm currently a remote employee, and actually, I've actually been a remote employee since I started Indeed, which was the summer of 2018.
We also tried to talk to LinkedIn, but didn't hear back. But Bunker says the Indeed data shows exactly what you'd expect. Remote work job postings are increasing.
So about 9.8% of job postings on Indeed mention those sort of remote keywords.
But now, as the COVID concerns are going down and restrictions are loosening, people are going back to the office. And this transition period is exposing where those remote trends are sticking.
Like a lot of tech jobs.
That's like actually Tina's industry.
Really big rises.
Tech job postings on Indeed jumped fourfold. And Bunker says there was even a bigger shift among legal gigs.
They had really like strong physical office cultures.
But those postings soared 9 times over.
It's really big jumps.
And locally, we're sort of seeing the same thing.
I thought the numbers would be even higher.
That's Karen Napik-Scalzo.
And I'm an associate economist with the New York State Department of Labor in Syracuse.
They didn't exactly have their own data, but from a third party that tracks online job advertisements targeting the central New York area. Yeah, it's got some caveats.
An employer might list one ad in a certain industry, but that ad could contain actually 10 job openings. So one limitation is that it measures the number of ads, not necessarily the total number of job openings.
But it offers an idea.
Examples.
Yeah.
Of what are some of the trends that we're seeing in the labor market.
And they found around 500 remote-friendly job ads currently targeting CNY. That's up from 93 remote-friendly job ads 2 years ago, a five-fold increase. But not really what Karen was expecting.
But again, it's just ads, so it can be multiple job openings per ad. But I even thought the numbers might be a little bit higher.
And again, there are concentrations in certain industries. Healthcare practitioners and technical jobs, for instance, those ads tripled.
And that points to things like our reliance more on telemedicine, which we really weren't embracing as much prior to the pandemic.
It's even bigger in other sectors.
Computer mathematical related occupations.
They more than quadrupled.
Business and financial occupations.
Those ads increased more than four times over. Sales ads jumped six times over. Arts and media jobs, my industry, went from one remote ad in 2020 to 27 this year. Office and administrative ads jumped from one to 44.
This morning, I woke up at 7 a.m., let the dog out, fed the animals, made a pot of coffee.
That's Kevin Feek.
Came upstairs.
Remote worker. He logged his day for us.
Put the news on, relaxed until about 7:30. From there, got ready for work, logged in at 8 o'clock.
He's a fire protection engineer for Amazon, but he started the pandemic in the medical sector. His job was to ensure employee safety at a hospital in Florida. So, yeah, pretty stressful.
And working in a hospital was not the easiest place to work.
So he made a radical decision. He went back to school.
And got a degree in engineering.
And prepared to leave his job.
From there, I decided that I was ready to go remote.
He looked for work-from-home opportunities and got the gig at Amazon. And with the ability to work from anywhere,
West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, even other parts of Florida,
he chose Syracuse.
Still have family in the area. Both of our parents are up here.
He says it's been smooth sailing ever since.
I don't wake up to an alarm. I wake up, I have my coffee, I start work.
Before, mornings were a race against the clock.
I used to have to wake up at 6 a.m. and do everything and run out the door by 7 to get to work and start work by 8:30.
Now it's far more manageable, relaxing even.
There are days where I'll work in pajamas all day just because it's more comfortable.
Plus it's cheaper.
So I'm not buying lunch at work every day.
Oh, that reminds me. I gotta get dinner in the crock pot.
Filling up the car.
And his employer gets more work out of him.
It's one of those, if I'm not feeling well, I can just power through it at home.
His entire team is remote.
Colleagues in California, Iowa, Indiana, Florida, Nebraska.
Which, yeah, has its challenges.
Scheduling meetings across three time zones can be difficult, but it's just being flexible with everybody's schedules.
But Feek says it's working out for him.
I went from, I would say, taking mental health days at my previous job, maybe, you know, a few here and there. I just don't see the need for it anymore. It's just that much, I don't know what the word is, more relaxing, less stressful, a little bit easier.
This is the kind of lifestyle that job seekers say they're increasingly after.
Remote work opportunities are still the number one request that we are hearing from our candidates on a daily basis.
Bridget Eustace is with CPS Recruitment. That's a job placement firm in Liverpool.
We were working on two similar positions. One was customer service, remote, all remote, 100%. And then the other was a customer service position that was all in the office, in-person position. Very similar pay, very similar type companies. So when we put both of these postings up online, the remote 100% remote position had seven times higher response than that of the one that was in person.
Even she's remote. She says that helps her with her two kids.
Wanting to go to their school and bring them to their softball games and stuff like that. Like it's a huge thing for me. And I know a lot of my coworkers feel the same way.
But she says employers may not be meeting this rising remote work demand from job seekers.
probably five times a week I'm talking to either a current or new customer, and they're like, hey, we're bringing, you know, we'd like to bring somebody on for customer service. And I'll say, okay, are there any remote work hours? And when they say no, the customer service rep has to be back in the office full time. That brings on a conversation.
So she tries to nudge them toward offering some sort of work from home hours.
It's not for every customer service position. I'm not saying that, but it's kind of that talk of you will increase your candidate market, even if you have 2 to 3 days that you can offer this position some flexible or remote type of hours. So it's a lot of my conversations are based around that right now.
But some leaders are worried remote work will actually do more harm than good for their workforce.
And they express concerns over the informal dynamics that take place when we're working next to one another.
That's Don Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute. They do a lot of polling, and the group just last month published its 15th annual survey of hundreds of CEOs across upstate New York. And he says executives are concerned about the lost social aspects of working in an office.
When we have casual conversations in the hall, in the break room.
And that FaceTime matters.
Some CEOs are very concerned that over time, that will be a cost. And the development of junior into more senior people will be delayed.
He sees that even at his place of work.
Where one of my entry-level callers, you know, I run into him in the hall and they say, hey, Doc, did you ever think about asking this question? And I can't tell you how many times they've been great questions.
Still, he says the 15th annual survey indicates businesses are responding to the demands. 14% of surveyed CNY leaders say they're letting some remote work remain. That's smaller than the 23% in the Capital District, where there's a lot of government jobs. But more than the 9% in the Finger Lakes, where agriculture reigns as the top industry.
To some extent, the flexibility of some companies is being driven by this competition for labor. And I think it's just simply too early to tell whether, if on the negative side, this loss of the informal interaction sufficiently balances out that, the satisfaction of employees and or the found time.
It's not balancing out for Nick Lorenzo.
Hi, are you Nick?
Yep.
Hi, I'm Taryn. Nice to meet you.
He works for a Citibank at their Buffalo branch, but he's doing his job remotely from his parents' house in Syracuse.
Do you want me to take your shoes off?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. No matter.
I can take them off.
His boss regularly checks in on how he's adjusting to the role.
Hi, Lulu.
He's a recent college grad and a new hire, so he's still sort of training.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
But he's pretty acquainted with remote life.
I spent 3 semesters during COVID doing this.
And he's long tired of it.
You know, you do the same thing over and over again, like the weekends, like there was never an expectation I was going to go out. I was just going to go to bed early. And, you know, that's probably not the greatest thing for somebody who's 19, 20, 21 years old. I just don't talk to people like I used to. So
he says the isolation he experienced during college hit him pretty hard.
You know, with a month out from finals, I remember I just kind of sat there and just like, you know, cried for like a good couple hours. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's probably a mental health issue. So I'm like, okay, that's probably not good.
So he's ready to move on. He's planning a move to Western New York just to get to the office.
I honestly only talked to like six people, like every day on my team here. But in the office, it's going to be like 1,700 people. And I know that they said that I'm going to interact with more people once I get in the office. So that'll be nice. And then I'll be able to get in touch with people that are a little closer to my age, which I don't mind that they're older than me, but you know, I would like to get to know some more people my age and then, you know, maybe do something outside of the office with, you know, and have a bit of a social life.
Yeah, put this on. It's a magnet.
Hello.
Hi, Waleed. It's Shelly from Syracuse Northeast. How are you?
Hi, Sally. How are you?
I'm
Shelly Peabody has an afternoon of phone calls ahead of her. She's an employment specialist at Syracuse Northeast Community Center.
Receive it from you.
I sent it to you.
She follows up with a client to make sure they applied to an opportunity she found for him.
I sent it to your Gmail, the
It went to the wrong email.
2000 or without 2000?
Without the 2000. Is it supposed to be with the 2000?
He had actually changed it.
Okay. Stuff like that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And phone numbers.
Any indication of why they change sometimes?
No, I know that sometimes with emails, it's because people get locked out of them so many times, or like they forget their password, and like I get that, and it can be hard to be like, oh, what was the password I used for this, or I don't have the phone number that I used to get into that one anymore, so.
The center brings employment support to help people get out of poverty. There are five other specialists like Shelley hunting down jobs that meet the needs of this population. Shelley's supervisor, Donna Moore, says they have unique challenges that unfortunately employers aren't patient enough to handle.
And they go into work and, you know, we all know that you're expected to be to work 9 to 5 or whatever and leave your personal life behind. And that's easy for some of us that can compartmentalize. But some of these people that have grown up and live in trauma every day and poverty, I will say, is a trauma for a lot of people. They just don't have those coping skills.
And it can be hard to keep that punch in, punch out, gotta be in the office job.
So when they go into a place of employment and they don't have understanding bosses or coworkers, it makes it very difficult.
And it seems like that this population that you're talking about is the type of population that could truly benefit from remote work.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And I think a lot of them would like remote work. Again, I think it comes down to lack of resources and lack of education for them.
Because she says a lot of people lack basic technological skills.
Some of them didn't even finish high school, a lot of the people we work with.
Maybe they didn't even get their GED. Many rising remote work industries like finance, business, and tech require a college degree. But 2/3 of Onondaga County don't have a bachelor's.
There's definitely a disparity there between what you think people should have and what they actually have today.
And that means even call center jobs done remotely are out of reach for a population that could benefit from saving on their commute and childcare.
You know, I think if we aren't helping the people that are living in our neighborhoods to move up in their life and have better economic stability, then we all suffer from that.
Donna and the community center are working to get people caught up on the basics. They're actually looking to fund a new position that would train people how to use computers.
The executive director here is looking at getting a digital navigator to better understand what the needs are of our community members.
But skills are just the first hurdle. The next challenge is actually getting them computers.
I mean, everything's done in computers, right? All our banking's done on computers now. If you want to book a hotel, you do it on a computer now. You don't make phone calls anymore. You do everything on a computer. So leaving people behind on that is very difficult. And it sets them further and further apart. And it's making, I think, the divide between those that live in poverty and the middle class bigger and bigger and bigger every day.
She hopes that once the Digital Navigator program is up and running, she can find a way to give free laptops to people who complete the training. For City Limits, I'm Taryn Mento.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.